ब्रज जन रंजन जशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरा बन छारी जमुना थीरा बन छारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी
जय विष्णुपार परमहंस प्रीव्रजकाचार्य तथरसत श्री श्रीमारिस्तवांग श्रेयसी भक्तिवृंत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से गहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गराधा श्रीवासि गौर भक्तिवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौ गोप गोपीना श्याम कुंद राधा कुंडगिरी गोधान की श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री मायापुर धाम की गंगा माई की जमुना माई की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की समवेता भक्तवृंद की जयनताय गौर प्रेमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Sahasra Varanangri Shira Karauru Nashadya Karna Nayana Bharana Yudhayam Mayam Ayam Sad Upalakshita Sannivesham Drishtva Mahapurusham Apa Mudam Virinchaha Evam Sahasra Varanangri Shirakaroru Nasadya Karna Nayana Bharana Yudhayam Mayam Mayam Sarupalakshita Sannivesham Drishtva Mahapurusham Apamudam Virinchaha Evam Sahasra Varanangri Shirakaroru Nashadya Karna Nayana Bharana Dhyudhayam Maya Mayam Sarupalakshita Sannivesham Drishtva Mahapurusham Apamudam Virincha
Drishtva Mahapurusham Apamudam Virincha
evam in this way. Sahasra, thousands and thousands. Varana, faces. Angri, feet. Shira, heads. Kara, hands. Uru, thighs. Nasha Adya, noses, etc. Karna, ears. Ayana, eyes. Abharana, varieties of ornaments. Ayudha, varieties of weapons. Adyam, endowed with. Maya Mayam, all demonstrated by unlimited potency. Sat Upalakshita, appearing in different symptoms. Sannivesham, combined together. Drishtva, seeing. Mahapurusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apa, achieved. Mudam, transcendental bliss. Virinchaha, Lord Brahma. Translation. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, hands, heads, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You are very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. Purport. Lord Brahma, being completely pure, could see the original form of Lord Vishnu, having many thousands of faces and forms. This process is called self-realization. Genuine self-realization consists not of perceiving the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, but seeing face to face the transcendental form of the Lord. As distinctly mentioned here, Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Lord as Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna also saw Krishna in the same way. Therefore, he told the Lord, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Parvitram, Paramam, Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. The Lord is Parama Purusha, the supreme form. Purusham Shashvatam, he is everlasting, the supreme enjoyer. It is not that the impersonal Brahman assumes a form. On the contrary, the impersonal Brahman effulgence is an emanation from the supreme form of the Lord. Upon being purified, Brahma could see the supreme form of the Lord. The impersonal Brahman cannot have heads, noses, ears, hands, and legs. This is not possible, for these are attributes of the Lord's form. The word maya mayam means spiritual knowledge. This is explained by Madhavacharya. Maya mayam jnana sarupam. The word maya mayam, describing the Lord's form, should not be taken to mean illusion. Rather, the Lord's form is factual, and seeing this form is the result of perfect knowledge. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanam ante, Jnanavan mam prapadyante. The Lord, the word Jnanavan, refers to one who is perfectly in knowledge. Such a person can see the personality of Godhead, and therefore he surrenders unto the Lord. The Lord's being symptomized by a face, nose, ears, and so on is eternal. Without such a form, no one can be blissful. The Lord, however, is Satchidananda Vigraha, as stated in the Shastra. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. When one is in perfect transcendental bliss, he can see the Lord's supreme form, Vigraha. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Gandhakya Devata Yadvat Prithivim Vyapya Tishtati Evam Vyaptam Jagat Vishnum Brahmatma Stam Dadarshaha. Lord Brahma saw that as aromas and colors spread throughout the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead pervades the cosmic manifestation in a subtle form. So now Prahlad Maharaj is, in his prayers, is getting around to this aspect, how Krishna is pervading everything, how he is everything. So we're used to hearing the misinterpretation of this, how as everything, or as Brahman, or how he's spread everywhere, that this means that he's impersonal. No, but the impersonal aspect is there. It means that's there with everyone. Like, let's say you have your house, right? Now if one puts effort into this house, you can see the personality of the person in the house, right? But that's the impersonal form, because it's generic, right? It means, okay, they have this quality, like everything very orderly, so therefore we see order in the house. Or they like things in a very aesthetic way, or a very balanced way, or a very minimalistic way, or whatever is the qualities that are there. So you can perceive these qualities. That's impersonal. But you see, there's still forms, shapes, uses, applications, results. So this misinterpretation where impersonal means nothing and void, that's actually Buddhism. It's atheism. It's not a Vedic concept. Because as we see so many individuals within the Vedic context in the Bhagavatam who are impersonalists, they're seeing the Lord talking to the Lord, talking about his transcendental position. So this idea that everything's illusion and that, there is no standing, there is no such philosophy. It's completely made up. It doesn't exist. It means it exists in people's minds. Like, you know, flowers in the sky, or that horses come from, you know, big eggs that you have to sit on until they hatch, you know, or rabbits have horns like that. And of course, unless you're Monty Python, right? So other than this, then these don't exist. But people think they exist and they go on to existing. Just like the idea that I will be happy in the material world. It's an illusion. So since we're already under one illusion, then accepting another illusion is fairly easy. Right? As I think Upayaja mentioned about his older brother, that Drupad came to him because he and his brother would always do these yajnas and sacrifices and that. And of the two, Upayaja was actually the more, he knew more. But his elder brother being elder, he was the main person in the yajna, but actually arranging it, doing everything else, his younger brother did. So then Drupad, understanding this and their qualifications, approached him and said, will you do this yajna for me that I want to get a son that can kill Dronacharya, right? And Upayaja said, me, I can't do that kind of stuff. You know, it's totally mundane. So I don't do this things. But I always do everything with my brother. So whatever he does, then I do. So if you want such a thing, why don't you go and ask my brother? And so then Drupad was asking, well, says, but you're not doing it, so why would your brother do it? He says, oh, it's a very simple thing. He doesn't distinguish between what's pure and impure. One day when we were walking in the forest, he saw a fruit that had fallen on the ground, he just picked it up, and without examining it, he started to eat it. Because if he'd examined it, maybe someone took a bite out of it, maybe there's a bug in it, something. But so he didn't make that distinction. So since he doesn't make the distinction in one area, there's a good chance he won't in another. Right? So the point is if we've accepted the illusion that I can be happy and enjoying this world, then we can also accept another illusion, of that, you know, I am Brahman, or everything's, you know, I am God, and like this kind of thing, that everything's illusion. Right? Because if I can't enjoy it, it must be it doesn't exist. Right? What a slap in the face. It's real, and you still can't enjoy it. Right? You tried your best, and you can't get anything from it. But it's real. But now, won't I feel better if I say, well, don't worry, no one can enjoy it, because it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. Then I can feel, oh, okay, so I'm not such an idiot after all. Right? Then we can go on, so therefore you're God. Oh, yes. Right? So this is what we're used to, where we're used to the illusion of karma, and then we're accepting the illusion of jnana. But in reality, as Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out, everything's Krishna. So when you actually are able to see everything in the creation connected to Krishna, that's when you're able, actually going to be able to appreciate him as a person. Because if we're impure, then we don't see Krishna as a person. And so then, we don't see him as a person. And so where does this impurity come from? We think that the creation is separate from him and we will enjoy this creation. So therefore, how will we see the person who it belongs to? That's the whole point. So that's why these things are brought out. It's to bring out the aspect to give up that attachment to trying to enjoy the material world. That has to be left. Leaving that, then we can see Krishna as a person. Because otherwise, then anything we see here in the world, it will distract us and make us think, oh, I could enjoy that, and then where's Krishna in it? So since it belongs to the person, you know, it's just like, let's say, if you have a friend or something, or someone you know, and then you're using some of his stuff in an improper way. You know, you borrowed his car, you went and you're using it, and then you forgot and left it down at the parking lot. Now, when you bump into him, can you look at him? Not really. So that's the whole point, is that we don't want to look at Krishna, we don't want to see Krishna, because we're trying to enjoy his creation. So when we give up that desire for enjoyment of his creation, then it's obvious this comes from the Supreme Person. That's why you can see all whatever wonderfulness we think is here in the material world, that's because that's aspects of Krishna as a person. Right? That's the whole thing. Does this make sense? So Prahlad Maharaj is bringing up this point. So these aren't just saying about his glories and all that, he's a great guy, and then having said all those prayers, then saying, you know, so, you know, let everything be nice and I can go back to the heavenly planets and get on with my, you know, being the big guy, like the demigods were saying. Prahlad Maharaj is simply pointing out how we can see the Lord. So the Lord is manifesting in the pillar because Prahlad sees like this. The pillar is there, it's holding up the roof. Now it's Hiranyakashipu's palace. It's not going to be some small little hut, you know, up there at Balampakur or something. You know, it's a big, huge thing. So a pillar is something very major, right, structurally. So that power that's there, that's Krishna. So he's saying, yes, Krishna. And then he'll be thinking of Krishna in his form, how he's powerful and all that. But he's got it from the Udipan or the... what inspires his understanding from simply seeing this aspect of universal form. For the devotees, the universal form is not a goal. It's simply a tool to always see Krishna everywhere. So it's another aspect of just that inspiration to see Krishna. And so that's how the residents of the spiritual world see. But when we see as no, seeing like that is a goal, that's the Hiranyagarbha yogis. And so, because they're devotees, then they go to Lord Brahma after the lifetime and stay with Lord Brahma until the end of his lifetime. And then when he goes back to Godhead, then they go. Right? So, it'll get them to a Vaikuntha position. It'll get them to a position of Shantarasa. But that's all the farther, because it's a goal. For us, no, it's just a matter of, yes, he is impersonal. He is spread through everything. That's why it's so wonderful. And then why is it so? Because it's coming from that person. So the person is what's wonderful. So that person did this. Just like if there's some kind of arrangement has been made by someone that you have affection for and it's a nice arrangement, you appreciate the person. So the arrangement, you go, wow, that's a wonderful arrangement, but then that makes you remember the person who made the arrangement. That's the Vaishnava way of using this. So when we take it as a goal, just to be able to get from there's nothing and it's all illusion into God's in these forms, then it says, yes, that's a lower stage. That's a beginning stage, as I mentioned in the second canto. Because they're only seeing that far, okay, then his feet is in Patala's heads in Satya and all these different things. They're just trying to get accommodated with that the Lord has a form. So this is a beginning stage. But when these things remind you of the Lord who the original Lord and his nice pastimes with his devotees, then this isn't a beginning stage. This is actually a very advanced stage. So we see that in Prahlad Maharaj, we see it in the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis. When we open the Panchadhyaya and these other aspects, when they're interacting with Krishna, they're saying all these things. They're making these same points. We don't catch them because we're saying, hey, when does the good stuff come? But they're saying all these things. So that's the point, is they know this, because for them, that's just a basis. We're below, our basis is the material world is a place of control and enjoyment. But there is the basis, no, everything's Krishna. So everything reminds them of Krishna. Everything reminds them about how they want to serve Him. So those situations, then they look, how can I serve Krishna as a person in this situation? So Prahlad Maharaj is pointing this out, because you see his... He's seeing like this, and he's talking to the person. And Prabhupada quotes, Arjuna also saw this same realization. So, who is he talking about? He sees the universal form, but he sees the Supreme Person. Right? That's the difference. Is the realization is on that personal platform. Though, they're seeing, because the impersonal is simply the effulgence of the person. Just like, say, somebody, something wonderful has happened, they're very happy. Then you notice the effulgence of the person. And it adds to their personalness. Right? Or, let's say something's happened that's not nice, and so they lose that effulgence. Then you'll notice that, oh, something's wrong. Where's the effulgence? So in other words, the effulgence is a natural part of the person. So if we only look at that part, then that will be the impersonal level. And then the Maya bodies don't even really accept that. They say there's this effulgence, but it's not connected to the person. The impersonalists don't mind that it's connected to the person, because that's pretty straightforward. But they're just interested in that aspect. You know, it's just like, let's say, one businessman meets another businessman. Okay, now they're working on some contracts. Now, what do they care about? Getting the other guy's business. That's all they care about. So they're only interested in the money or the impersonal aspect of them. They're not interested in them as a person. But it's not that they don't know they're a person. That's why when they meet and they have their power lunch and all this kind of things, then they're very careful. The etiquette's dealing properly. They know the background of each other and everything. They probably even know what they like to do for fun. That's why if the first one gets there, he's already pre-ordered. Oh, he got all the things he likes. Oh, thing, you know. So it's all dealt on the personal platform, but it's not about the personal. It's about the impersonal. So that's an impersonalist. The Vedic impersonalist means they may know the person, they may not, but they're not interested in the person as they are in the impersonal aspect. That's all. So devotees, it's the opposite. It's about the person, so the impersonal aspects just add to the environment of the person. They go down and it's going good, so they're going to have further discussions, so he invites them down for a ride on his yacht. So the yacht, the whole scene, adds to their interaction. But it's still the yacht and everything, that's all the impersonal. It's just the extension of his energy, you know, to show his prowess. Does this make sense? So we're not used to the concept that impersonal is actually based on personal. We're used to impersonal means there's nothing. So we have a difficulty with it. And if for us impersonal means nothing, then better not to discuss it. But if one can, then one can understand that whatever there is in the creation, it can remind you of Krishna. That is then what we see these very advanced devotees are bringing out. So Prahlad Maharaj, then he is, of the 12 Mahajans, he is our example. All of them are exemplary, but for us to apply in our life, then Prahlad Maharaj is given as the example. So him seeing like this is something we can do to advantage. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So is there any questions or comments? Yes.
In this description, it's describing the tapasya of Lord Brahma at the very beginning of the universe, and then how he could see the Lord, and it's describing how he sees the Lord's universal form. But in the Bhagavatam, I always get a little confused exactly what Lord Brahma saw at the end of his tapasya. Because sometimes, you know, there's that picture where he's sitting on top of the lotus flower in the Bhagavatam and he's looking down and he can see Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lying on the causal ocean. And then there's the Brahma Samhita, which, you know, explains that he actually sees Krishna in Goloka. So at different times in the Bhagavatam, you get a different description of what he saw. So I'm always wondering, well, what did he actually see? Did he see all three? Did he see one? Did he see one predominantly and another less predominantly like that?
Yeah. So all these is what he was seeing, but they're all seen at different stages. Because when he first sees them, he's not initiated. Then as he advances, then he gets initiated. That's where we see Krishna with him and the flute, and that's then when Brahma Samhita, so he can see. Because the point is these basic fundaments will always happen, but it's not necessarily that Brahma becomes a devotee. Right? We're fortunate our Brahma is a devotee. And so he's that head of that line. But otherwise, he doesn't have to become a devotee. Because if he became a devotee, because Brahma, then we know we'll go back to Godhead. Right, so if we had done like that, we wouldn't be here. We'd be back in the spiritual world. But we're here. That meant we were a Brahma. We could see, perceive the Lord, but we weren't a devotee. So the beginning stages, you'll see, because he's on the lotus. The lotus is the universal form. It's known as Virag, because it's half male, half female, because it's the masculine and feminine principles of whatever there is in the creation. So he's born from that. And so that is coming from Krishna. So he goes and he looks and he can't see that. So first he sees, understands the lotus. Because he only sees the lotus, but he doesn't understand what the lotus is. He thinks it's just a lotus. Then he sees his universal form. Then in that state, from being purified, he sees that. And then from that, then he'll come to surrender to the Lord. Then he'll be initiated by the Lord. And then like this. So then, that's why again there's meditation. So he did tapasya, looking and all that. Then this was revealed. Then he does more after he gets from Saraswati. Then, how you say, sets things up as Purushacharya Vidhi, right? So he gets a mantra, he gets this and that, he chants, he meditates. And then from that brings him to the stage he's now qualified to get initiated by the Lord. And so then he's initiated then with the Kama Gayatri. Like that.
How long did this
take? Meditation, one of them was 1,000 years. He swam around in Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel for 100 years. So it took a while. So that's why we're very fortunate. The Lord Chaitanya gave us just the chanting of the holy name. You don't have to swim around in this pool for 100 years and then we'll, Yeah, so we're very fortunate that just simply we have the Maha Mantra, which is the source of this Kama and Gopal Mantra. It is the, most part, it doesn't require initiation. Like him, he's going through the formal steps. Therefore, he has to perform the Purushacharya Vidhi. He has to perform just to get any benefit to bring him to the next level. Yes, yes.
And they're separated by time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Something else? Yes.
So if I understood that,
you have this little funny contraption here. You talk into it, amazingly everyone can hear, right?
So you say that impersonal existence actually is the feature of personal reality.
Yes.
So, what I think is that.
No, but wait. You started off on the wrong foot, because what you think technically does not matter. Right?
Okay, my question
is. The sages didn't arrange satsang so people could sit around and give their opinions. Right?
My question is, can we say that? That's a personal feature. It's Paramatma feature. It's not Bhagavatma feature.
It depends on your realization. Paramatma is personal, but at the same time, he is all-pervading. So he's in between. He's a person. Paramatma is a person. He is Bhagavan. But our understanding him as Paramatma is not on the Bhagavan platform. So therefore, he can enter everything as Paramatma and still as a person. I mean, doing what he likes to do, be separate. That's why then for the devotee, he sees Paramatma, he's seeing Bhagavan. So that then it just naturally progresses to the next step. But when we simply see him that just he's the supreme, he's God, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, he's the witness, he's the judge, these are just Paramatma features. And because of that, it's based on fear that we you know, he knows everything we do. And that, you know, so like that. And the fun part is he's even bigger than the guy that does all that for the Christians, you know. So he even sees in all living entities, right? And Santa doesn't get that far, right? So here's someone you have to be careful of. Does that make sense? So that aspect then is higher than the Brahman, but it's not as high as Bhagavan. So as Brahman, he is everything. And as Paramatma, he's entered everything. So he is the existence of whatever is there. He is, and the forms of everything, you know, that nature. Then, what is the use of that nature, how it's applied, what it's for, that's Paramatma. But that, you know, what it's for means what results it can get. But then, that it's all this arrangement is simply to please the Lord himself as a person, that's Bhagavan. So that's why these kind of technical things aren't scary to the devotees, because it's just a way to know how Krishna likes things. Right? Because he speaks the Veda. And one of his 64 qualities, he acts according to the Veda. So what does that mean? Since he's the origin of everything, means what he likes to do, that's what he speaks as the Veda. So if we take the Veda, oh, that's archaic, or that's old, or that, then that means we're saying it's limited by time and space. And it's very clear, everybody says he's above time and space. He's the controller of time and space. So that means the Veda exists before all this. And so it's not controlled by time and space, so it's eternal. So then the concept that, oh, we don't have to follow all these rules because they're old, that's a mundane vision. It's not spiritual in the least. Right? You know, Krishna makes that clear in the 11th canto, is that you don't follow these things. You say you're a devotee, but actually it's atheistic. You may be a devotee, but you're still polluted by atheism. But you're trying to move forward in devotional service, because you start as an atheist, and so now you added devotional service. But those things, that's the atheism speaking. Right? So we have to be very careful here. You know, does that make sense? So there's the absolute truth, then there's political correctness. That's a political thing. We take it as correctness as truth, so it's some higher thing. But no, it's politics, and just how to correctly be political. We have to understand, it's a lower thing, it's for managers and stuff. But the higher the truth, that's for Brahminical culture, that's for those who want to know the absolute. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, this way then, you have to look at it, that's why it's not about my opinion, this opinion, it's about what is the absolute truth, because it already exists. It's not that, because I think about it, therefore it exists. That's again Buddhism. Right? If no one's there when the tree falls, does it make any sound? Of course it makes sound. Like that. But we think we're the center, so if I'm not there, nothing happens. Like, right? Somebody has a party and I don't go, then of course it's not a party. You understand? So this is Buddhism. So therefore, nirvise shunyavadi. Right? We don't even understand. It's so entrenched. It's like fabric woven together. We don't even see it. That's why we have to be very careful about that. Right? Does that make sense? So does that work?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, so it comes back. You're saying something? Okay.
Maharaj, can you please elaborate on the time and space control I heard about different time, kinds of time, atomic time and different, but I couldn't find any explanation for what do they mean.
What does it mean, time?
Yeah, the atomic time is there, and I guess some other kinds of times are also there.
Do you have a background in physics?
No, one devotee referred these terms, but I didn't ask him for elaboration.
Oh, okay, so okay. Means Krishna is time. Time is the action. So time is what moves things. So you have the existence of things and you have the movement of things. Because if something doesn't exist, it can't move. And if it doesn't move, it doesn't give results. Right? And what's the point of existence if it doesn't do something? Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, that's why then for the material creation, then Krishna is the false ego. As Shiva, he enters the creation with the living entities because there has to be an identity. That identity can't be transcendental, otherwise why would you be here? So the material identity, that's our existence. And then with time, then we take action. Does that make sense? And then that's fueled by a desire to enjoy. So I'm the controller, that's my false identity, and I'm the enjoyer, then that is the results I want. So how do you connect those two? Because I want to enjoy, and this is something could be enjoyed, but they're two static things. So there has to be something that connects them. That's time. So time is the dynamic element. So it works on all levels, from the atomic level up to the time of Brahma. That's time. If you know from the atom up to the time of Brahma, and then back to Mahavishnu, then you know time. Right? Within the world, if you know up to Brahma, you know time, but back to Mahavishnu, that's for devotees. So it's one time. It's just functioning on everyone's level for them. Just like, okay, you have this lady, right? And in the room, there's her child, there's her husband, there's her brother, there's her father. So now the question comes, and it, you know, we want, you know, this is scientific, we want an exact answer. So is she a wife, or she's not a wife and she's a daughter, or she's not a husband or daughter and she's a mother, or she's not that and she's a sister? So which one of these four-dimensional things is correct? Does that make sense? So in other words, for the purpose of speculation, to enjoy speculation, this is the approach by the modern academy. Because if it can be all four at once, that's a conclusion. Now they're going to have to, if they want to further the conclusion, then it has to be, okay, as a mother, what should she be doing? As a wife, what should she be doing? As a daughter, what should she be doing? As a sister, what should she be doing? And that will scare the pants off of any academic. They absolutely don't want to deal with conclusions, because then their whole existence is finished. Because they only exist because they can speculate. Right? They think that's why they exist. Everybody else exists anyway. You understand? So this is the position, is that therefore to encourage speculation you have to bring these things up. Otherwise, then, you know, the conversation's over and I have to get down to something practical, and God forbid, you know. Academics just don't want anything practical, because if they were good at practical, then why would the guy teaching business management in the MBA course, why isn't he a billionaire? He's telling you, well, you know, this guy did this and that one did that and this is how they got their empires and all that, but he can't do it. Why? Because he doesn't want to do it, because his profit is speculating. And then the fun part, they pay him for that, right? So win-win, right? You know, he gets to speculate, that's fun, and they pay him for it, hey. And other people will come and applaud him for it, you know, so it's good. But the Vedic Academy is not like that. Vedic Academy, it starts with Siddhanta, then we take it somewhere. So where they won't end, that's where the Vedas start. So that's why the two don't get along. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And when we say beyond time and space, or beyond the control of time and space,
that means outside of the material world, transcendental.
spiritual world also, I think we can see it as a space in like it has an existence.
Unlimited is a space? So you can fit unlimited into your brain. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, what are we doing? Why are we saying this? Just because, oh, it's something that can be said. And, oh, you said this, and hey, check this out. I got this to say. Now what are you going to say? You do realize that's what 11-year-olds and 13-year-olds do. That's their fun. Their parents said this, and then the word, you can take it and switch the meaning so it means something else, and so ha, 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 and then the teenagers know what they're talking about, and the adults are, what are they talking about, and stuff like that. You do realize that that's the mentality. I mean, it is popular, don't worry. But that's why this mentality by the great personalities in here, like Jara Bharat and that, they say this is immature. Why am I being strong on these points? Simply because it's rampant that no, we have to let everyone speak and everyone feels, and because it's all about what they feel. You know, like my cat, he feels like clawing up on the table and, you know, drinking the soup before all the guests come, you know. So we want to move on into reality and give up this illusion. Therefore, we're poking these things. It's time we move on from, that's what it says, the Upanishad says, come from the darkness to the light. Because darkness hasn't saved anybody. You know, even the dark elves, it never works out for them. You know? Does that make sense? Okay. Something else? Yes. You have to get that microphone thingy. Goes up here, this way.
Hare Krishna. I want to ask one more time. So in which way we can learn to see Krishna everywhere? Like it's very easy in Mayapur, in temple, but I heard some of your seminars about it, but still I feel but it's very hard. Like you can say.
No,
like,
feel. You can use "I feel," meaning according to how I'm trying to apply it in my life. That's a consideration. So one's feelings are considered, but you can't speak it as an authority. In other words, in this consideration of facts of truth, right? Now there is the aspect of according to my conditioning and according to my level of realization. These things are important to me, that I have values, right? That's the second verse of the Chaturshloki. So one's values are important in the consideration. But it can't be that is the authority. We have to understand Krishna's the authority. He is the values. He's all the unlimited values. That's why he's universal form. We see certain aspects of this universal form. That's what we're doing. So in other words, the easiest thing is to... The distinction here is, we're saying in Mayapur and in the temple, these are direct activities. Chanting, worshipping the deity, hearing Bhagavatam, associating devotees, living in the Dham. Right? So they're direct. So those are easy to see. So Mayapur, anywhere, if you're in the temple or you're doing these, it's obvious this is devotional service. Now there's the indirect. How do I identify the indirect? Indirect means Krishna is everything that is there. That's what we've discussed here. Now, how do we bring it down and make it practical for ourselves? What within that unlimited everything that's there in the universal form, what do we value? You understand? What are your values? Right? In the indirect. You know, like where you live. Why do you choose that? Someone wants a big place. Someone wants a small place. Someone wants it more closed up. You know, like if you're in Northern Europe, you like really small windows. Right, because it doesn't let the cold in. While if you're, you know, down farther towards the equator and stuff, you like big windows, open verandas and stuff like that. You understand? So according to what you value, that's Krishna. So the small window means then it'll be protected and secure. The other one, it's open and the freshness. Those are values. That's Krishna. Why do you do anything? Why did you put your sofa there? Why? There's a reason for it. Everything's done for a quality. Not equality, a quality. Like that. Because if it was equality, then we could hang the they put the hang the sofa on the window and take the curtains and spread them out on the floor. So nobody believes in equality. It just sounds good so that nobody exploits me. That's all. Like that. You understand? So the whole point is now, what are we doing? What do we value? We cook something. We eat something. What's the value? Right? Is it prasad? It's Krishna. We cook for Krishna. Is it, particular things of health? And what kind of things of health? What? Where on the internet have we found these things about health? You know? And then always check in, especially if it's an older person, check the history of the person. Did they die? You know, like the macrobiotic guy, he actually starved to death. So not necessarily the best system for health. Right? You know, so check these things. But the point is there's a value there. That's where your connection to the creation is. You see things through the senses. But when that comes into the mind, then the first part, the manas means that you bring in the information, because the mind and the senses are connected. But then the citta means then, according to consciousness, what your values, then you decide how to interpret that. So your interpretation of everything you see, that's going to be how you relate to the world. So those values that you're doing, that's where you have to find Krishna. Because he says he is everything and he's the value. So if you see whatever you value not connected to him, that's illusion. Because he is what you value, but we think it's not. Right? Fun part is, this is considered very technical stuff now today, right? I was just reading Krishna book yesterday. And in the, the preface by George Harrison, this is his opening point. So back in the 70s, devotees, this was common philosophy for them. Amazing. Yes. Yes.
I mean, we never thought about anything impersonal.
No.
Like, never thought about the universal form as a goal or anything like that.
No. And if you look it in, he probably quotes Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma hundreds of times. Because it's actually the basis of how you can see everything as Krishna. The Mayavadi is misinterpreted to say, I'm God. You know? Does that make sense? So will that work? Simply think about what you do and then why you do it. Why you do it, that's your value. Now, how does that value connect to Krishna? That's how you can see him everywhere.
Maybe then it's better, maybe more practice this direct way that you can see in indirect.
Means if you keep the indirect, I mean the direct, that's the most important. The reason that why indirect is given, because we're not necessarily so inclined towards constant direct. Haridas Thakur, now that's constant direct. Right? But now if we're not on that platform, then that means we're filling our life with indirect. Right? Why 16 rounds are given? Right? One is that we're either so busy preaching that we only have time to get in 16 rounds, right, on the beads. But because we're talking about Krishna and all that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that as 64 rounds, because you 16 rounds on your beads and 48 rounds preaching. Right, or serving in the temple, or whatever was done. In other words, it was service to Krishna, that was the 48. Now, that's your ideal end. The other end is that 16 rounds, because that's all I can get in, because I'm so absorbed in the indirect and not seeing it to Krishna, I'm overwhelmed. So therefore, I'm getting in just 16 rounds. But the point is it's an authorized position, and from there we slowly try to bring out about the other. Does that make sense? So if you can identify what your values are, then you know that value, what that importance of that value, that feeling, that experience of that value, that experience is Krishna. But we're thinking it's something else. We're thinking it's that, okay, the house is very nicely organized, and that feeling of organization makes me feel good, comfortable. So, but that feeling of comfort that comes from that, that's Krishna. Krishna's comfort, Krishna's organization. You understand? So that's how we see Krishna in everything. And then as we, like you said, the more we engage in the direct, the more we become purified, the more we realize Krishna as a person, then the more that brings us immediately to Krishna as a person. Otherwise, we have to go through all these stages and eventually get to Krishna. for like the residents of Vrindavan, it's simultaneous. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. We're out of time, so end here. Jai Ho. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Gaura.